Welcome to the Legacy House Podcast. Our mission as a church is to equip people to know God, live free, and find purpose. We express the mission of our church through adoration, biblical teaching, creativity, and discipleship. We have prepared this message for you, and we know God is going to use it to minister to you wherever you are and in whatever situation you're going through.
Let's just jump right into the word today. We're going to start in the book of Nahum, and we're going to start in chapter 1, Nahum chapter 1. And hopefully, maybe you're watching this with somebody today, you're gathered around and you're eating some breakfast, or maybe you're sitting watching by yourself. But like we said, we're glad to have you here today. And so Nahum chapter 1, verse 7 is where I'm going to start reading. It says, "The Lord is good." It says, "He's a strong refuge when trouble comes. He is close to those who trust in him." It says, "But he will sweep away his enemies with an overwhelming flood, and he will pursue his foes into the darkness of night." You know, really the reason that we're having to meet like this today is the simple fact that because of the storm that is affecting our state, we had our governor issued statewide school closures. And a couple days ago when they issued these closures, I text the vice principal of the school that we meet at on Sundays, and I was like, "Hey, are we still gonna be able to have our service?" And she was like, yeah, not a problem. And then a little while later, she texted me back and said, "Actually, you can't. We're completely shut down." And even the teachers themselves could only go in for about 30 minutes last Friday. And so it's been amazing to see kind of how quickly God can shift and realign some things to bring us together in this moment. But really, the reason we're here is because of a storm. You know, and storms are an interesting thing. I'm the eternal optimist when it comes to weather. There could be literally a jet black cloud over my head, and I'm like, "Nah, it's probably gonna be sunny in a few minutes." And seriously, like my whole life, how I've been, Hurricane Ivan hit Pensacola a few years back, and literally it was right off the coast, and I was convinced that it was gonna turn or it was gonna do some like J shape and shoot down to Mexico. And I didn't wanna believe that what was headed my way was actually headed my way. You know, a lot of times in our own lives, it's that exact same way. We can see the storm coming. We can see the storm headed directly for us. And we do everything but probably the things that we need to do to get ready for that storm. And it's been interesting over these last, really this last week, to see how people have rushed to the store and there's been no water anywhere. People are buying up batteries. And for the longest time, our city hasn't even been in kind of the projected path of this thing. But people were ready to prepare. Bethany and I were talking a few nights ago, and she said, "Man, can you imagine if people prepared for the second coming of the Lord like they did for this storm?" I was like, that's really good. And I would love to say that I came up with it and I thought of it on my own and I was in the holy place and all of a sudden God spoke to me and I was like, yes, Lord. No, it was through the second most powerful way the Lord speaks to me, which was through my wife. And it's really a true statement. As I've thought about it over the last few days, I thought about this idea that what if we did? What if we prepared in our natural lives or prepared in our spiritual lives the way that we do in our natural lives? People are buying up water supplies, even if they don't need it. I mean, I've seen people at the gas station with 6 and 7 5-gallon gas cans filling it up. It's like, that's gas for like 2 months. Like, you're going to be good. Like, the storm will be gone by Tuesday. But it's interesting. Because for all of us, when we find ourselves in the midst of the storm, the first thing that I believe that we can forget is we can forget the fact that God is good. We did a series as a church a few months ago, and we talked about that idea of God being good. God's good in every season. He's good in every setting. There's never a moment in time when God isn't good. So that means that even in the storms of our life, even in the most challenging and difficult moments of our life, God is still good. I love that in Nahum chapter 1, that's how it starts off. It says, "The Lord is good. A strong refuge when trouble comes. He is close to those who trust in him." That's an important verse because it doesn't just say he's close to those. He says he's close to those who trust in him. So hopefully for us today, as we kind of dive into these next few moments together, hopefully today we can kind of connect those two things together. That every storm that we face in our life has to equally be met with a trust in the Lord. Because as we trust in God, he's drawn close to us. Bible talks about Mark chapter 4, and it's where we're going to go for kind of the bulk really here of our time together. And in Mark chapter 4, Jesus is teaching a lot. He's teaching a lot of different parables, and the disciples are learning. It's kind of early in their life and their ministry with Jesus. So just kind of, it was a steady stream of information. And Jesus had just taught this parable of the mustard seed. Maybe you're familiar with this story, and Jesus basically says that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain to be thrown into the ocean, and it will throw itself into the ocean. And that's a huge statement, because here it is, if you think about how small a mustard seed is, it's a tiny, tiny seed, but how that small of a thing can do such a powerful work. There's been a lot of times in my life that I felt like I've had more faith than just mustard seed style faith or mustard seed sized faith. But often I haven't seen the mountains move the way that I thought I had or the way that I wanted to. So for me, I have to ask myself the question a lot, what is it that's missing? Is it myself? Is it God? Is it my situation? Is it the storm that I'm facing? Or what is it? Today, I believe that as we dive into this, we have to understand that not only does faith go hand in hand with God's goodness and His strength and His provision for our life, but so does faith. So Jesus teaches this story, right? And they're excited. They're amped up. I mean, it's this mustard seed moment, and He's trying to describe to them what the kingdom of God is like. And really, that's our role as Christians, is try to describe. It's the constant pursuit of describing who God is to people who don't know Him. And Jesus is doing this again, and He goes on and He uses... Bible says there in verse 33 of chapter 4, it says, Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand. I love the fact that God wants to give us as much as we can understand. There's nothing that He's withholding back from us. There's nothing that we would ever face that He's like, nah, I'm going to let you figure this one out. He's walking with us step in step. So what does this do, and how does this play into the storms that we face in our life? There's some of you who might have been affected by this storm who are going to watch this video. There might be some of you who are sitting there in your house today and you're uncertain of what the future will look like. Maybe directly related to the storm that's been facing our state and other states, but sometimes maybe just simply because of the fact that you don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't actually know what the future looks like. And it goes on down in verse 35, and I'll read this to you. If you've got your Bibles, you can read it there. At your house or maybe driving in your car. Please don't read while you're driving and watching the phone. It's really probably too dangerous. But verse 35 says this. It says, as evening came, Jesus said to His disciples, He said, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and they started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. It says, but soon a fierce storm came up. It says, high waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. So Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat with His head on a cushion, and the disciples woke Him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? When Jesus woke up, He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Your Bible might say, peace, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then He asked them, He said, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified and they said, who is this man? He said, even the winds and the waves obey Him. I'll give you three things really quickly this morning that I believe we can learn in the midst of a storm. Storms in our life are inevitable. We'll face them. Maybe you're in the midst of one right now. Or maybe you will be in the future. But what we know is that they're inevitable. Maybe you've walked through some difficult ones and you're preparing for maybe even the future ones. But I believe that in every moment and season that we walk through, that's whether it's in the natural or in the spiritual, a struggle and a difficult season, I believe that there's great truths that God wants to teach in those moments. If we'll just simply connect our heart to what God is trying to say, and we'll connect our heart to what He's wanting to do. The first thing that I want to share with you is this, is the storm is to make you strong, not struggle. Now, often in our lives, we can think that the storm is because we're struggling, or God wants us to struggle, or I'm destined to struggle just because everyone in my family has ever struggled. And we can begin to see the storm as a sign of struggle, but really what a storm is, not only in our natural lives, but in our spiritual lives, is a representation of strength. Whether it's that storm system itself is strong, but it's kind of where the disciples found themselves in this moment. They were in this place along with Jesus. They just heard about the mustard seed. They had heard about all these other parables, the parable of the scattering of the seed. They had all these different things flowing through their brain, this teaching that Jesus had given them. And they get to the moment, we're in the boat, and then the storm came and everything flew out the window. God, how many times is that me? Like, how many times is that you? where everything is going good, like everything's feeling awesome, like you just heard a great word, you just got a great message. For us as a church, we had an awesome Sunday last week as a church. Look, if you've never been to Legacy House, you've got to come to the Legacy House. We meet at MB Cook, 1310 North 12th Avenue here in Pensacola, and you got to come next week. It's our 1 year anniversary, but bring somebody. It's going to be awesome. And we had an awesome Sunday last week, and we've been kind of racking them up here. We had a guest speaker a couple weeks ago, and it's just been amazing. So the interesting thing is that moments like this, me talking in a camera and you sitting on your couch, can seem like a struggle, but really this isn't a position of struggle. This is a position of strength, because I was telling somebody this afternoon, maybe, just maybe, the reason that we're speaking like this as we lead into our 1 year anniversary and we're not speaking from a platform as we lead into our 1 year anniversary is because inevitably there's people who are going to be listening to this that you would not have been in our building last week, but you will be watching this over the internet. I believe that no matter the storm of your life that you're facing, it's not just simply to make you feel like a struggle is happening to you, but it's to help you understand the strength that God wants to give you. It's to help you understand that God didn't just bring you to this place to leave you here, but He brought you to this place to make you strong and to make you great. Let me read this verse down to you again. Verse 37, it says, "But soon a fierce storm came up. The high waves began breaking in the boat and they began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat with a cushion under his head." Maybe you've never heard the story before, or maybe you're familiar with it. But it's amazing because Jesus' disciples are up doing the work. They're up there moving around, making things happen. Storm comes up, the boat begins to sink, and Jesus is sound asleep in the back of the boat. It's an amazing, amazing story of who Jesus is. I love that Jesus wasn't panicking. He wasn't stressed out. He wasn't freaking out. He was asleep in the back of the boat. The Bible even records with his head on a cushion. It says the disciples woke him up and they shouted, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" Man, anytime storms begin to hit us in our life, the first thing that we almost always begin to question is God's protection and provision for us. The first thing that we almost always begin to question is, why is this storm happening to me? God, why did you allow this to happen to me? The disciples did this, right? They've been traveling. I mean, imagine being at one of Jesus' services. Not only one of his services, but you're with him 24/7. All of a sudden, a storm happens with Jesus in your boat, and you begin to freak out, wake him up. Like, and you begin to complain and cry and upset. "God, you're going to let us drown. I knew you were going to let us drown. You brought us all the way out here in the middle of the lake to let us drown. Surely he loves you more than that." The second thing I want to give you today is this. Look, the storm is not just simply for your struggle, but it's to make you strong. But the thing I like about this too is that the storm isn't just to cause us to stay, but it's really an opportunity to be sent. I love at the beginning of this story, Jesus said, look, they had just had all this amazing ministry, all these things have been going on, and Jesus told them, he said, "Let's cross to the other side." You know, anytime natural disasters happen or storms happen, especially hurricanes, there's always parts that become under mandatory evacuation, where you have to leave. Like, it's not like, hey, should you leave? Or you can leave if you want to. It is a mandatory evacuation. And you've seen it over the news over the last few weeks. They have the little cone that shows the path of the storm. And they refer to it as the cone of uncertainty. And I'm like, my God, like, how could there not be a greater illustration for our lives? Often we live kind of in that moment where it feels like we're in this kind of this cone of uncertainty. And sometimes when we're uncertain, the enemy can cause us to do one thing and one thing alone, which is to simply stay. And I'm not talking about just staying at the church that you're at, or staying in one position. I'm talking about staying from a spiritual place. I truly believe that those storms spiritually that we face in our life, they challenge us, they call us, if you will, to some mandatory evacuations. I think that when we begin to face trials and struggles, it's not because God has left us, but maybe it's that just God is trying to lead us out from some places that we've been stuck for a very, very long time. And Jesus says, look, hey guys, we have some great things happening over here, but let's head out and let's go to the other side. And the disciples couldn't comprehend that because they're like, wow, so we left just to struggle. And he said, no, we left because I didn't want you to struggle. I'm leading you away from these things. And today, for us, and like wherever you sit today, I mean, like, you might be surrounded with people that you know, or you might be sitting all alone. But I can promise you that every storm in your life is important, and it has wisdom, and it has seed, and it has life hidden inside of it. But When we begin to be frustrated and we begin to be annoyed and we begin to be depressed by the struggle that we're facing, we can lose sight of the strength. And we can lose sight of the fact that maybe what God is doing or wants to do is not just for us to stay put because there is a storm, but to be sent out, to say, I see what's headed my way, and I will make the steps necessary so that I will not be greatly or greater affected or than I would have been if I would have just simply stayed in place. You know, there's been people, unfortunately, throughout history who have lost their life because they've stayed in a storm, maybe when they should have left. And my wife lived in New Orleans when Katrina hit. And New Orleans isn't new to flooding. And when Katrina hit, a lot of people didn't leave because they thought about the fact that, you know what, it floods here all the time. It's not going to be that big of a deal. And the truth is that as real and as heavy as moments and situations like that are, where lives are actually lost, moments actually come to an end. Spiritually in our lives, it's the exact same way. So sometimes we think that, you know, I've walked through this storm before. This is something I've struggled with for years. My parents struggle with this. My grandparents struggle with this. It's a generational thing. Maybe it's a word thing, whatever it might be. But we can almost become so accustomed to the storm that we don't see or we lose sight of the fact that God is wanting to lead us out of it rather than to just simply call us to ride that thing out. Don't misjudge what God is doing in your life. Don't see the storm as just this ordinary event. You know what? This is just me. It's just my plight in life. It's a struggle. I just, you know, I've tried my best. I've tried the whole God thing before. I've been to church. Like, you might even not even know why you're watching this video. Like, let's be honest. We've had some people who, when we had to do this a few months ago because the AC was out in our building, we had some people who watched the video online. This was their first exposure they ever had to Legacy House. And because they watched the online service, they wound up coming and now have started coming to Legacy House. You know what's interesting? Is the fact that God can use the things that seem obscure and uncommon to do extraordinary things. It doesn't seem like it's right to believe for God to move in some powerful way in the midst of a storm. It seems like our responsibility should be to hunker down, hold on, and hope for the best. But we know as believers today that God has already given us the victory. God has already given you the victory in the midst of your storm. Let me give you the last thing. The final thing is this. Look down with me. Verse 39 says, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the waves, and he says, silence, be still. Suddenly there was a wind, the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. And then he asked him, he said, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And the disciples were absolutely terrified. They said, who is this man that even the winds and the waves obey him? Often in our lives, when we face the storm of our season, or the storm of our struggle, or the storm of our own insecurities, it can cause us internally to want to be unsettled, to want to be restless, to kind of want to be stirring on the inside. You ever had that feeling? Maybe it's like that feeling when you get like when you're on a roller coaster and it's that how you feel as you're going up that first hill and like you just feel kind of like not fully nauseous, but kind of nauseous. And it's often like that in the storms. So we can kind of feel that moment of like, God, I'm not fully uncertain. I don't know. And that's the disciples. They woke him up screaming at him, Lord, you brought us out here to die. Wow, that's really great. It's really you-like of yourself. It's really Jesus-like for you to bring us out here and us to die in the middle of this storm. And they were unsettled. They were unsettled in their heart. And I love the fact that what Jesus told them was, he said, peace or silence, be still. I believe that Jesus wasn't only speaking to the wind and the waves, but he was speaking to the heart of the disciples. But Jesus knew to calm their hearts, he had to calm the storm. God isn't just leading us into the storm so that we can be stirred in our life, so that we can be unsettled in our life, but he wants to bring us into that place so that we can become still. I believe that we can be sent while being still, that we can be moving, but at peace while we move. So it's not a contradiction here by Jesus where he's like, look, we're going to go to the other side, but peace be still. It seems like it at face value, but really what it is he's saying, I want there to be peace in your heart as you go. You know what? Sometimes we enter into storms and into seasons that we don't know when the end actually will be. We don't know what the end result will actually look like. We don't know if that relationship will turn out the way that we hope it would. We don't know if that job will develop the way that we thought it might. We don't know if our kids will come back to the Lord or our marriage will be restored. And all we seem to have is this boat and our Savior. And it was all the disciples had. It was all they had was a boat and Jesus. And he stood up in the back of the boat and he spoke to the wind and the waves. The Bible says that there was a great calm. It wasn't like the water like smoothed out. It was that really, theologians say that the water just became slick as glass. And not only did the wind become still, but the wind completely stopped. It was dead quiet. Can you imagine being in the middle of a storm where your boat is drowning? And then one man steps up from the back of the boat and just speaks and everything becomes still. You know, today it's that way in your heart and your life. Is that God wants to, can, and will speak directly to your heart. And he can say, peace, be still. Look, your storm was not just to lead you into a place that you would be left. But it was to lead you into a place that God truly has for you. The storm's not going to kill you. The storm's going to reveal things about who God was, because even in the midst of that storm, when Jesus spoke up and he shouted to the winds and the waves and he calmed them down, the disciples freaked out. Who is this guy? That even the elements of our earth obey him. And there's nothing too great for God. It's the reminder of the mustard seed. He said, even the smallest moment and you'll be saved. Even the smallest faith, and you can see that breakthrough. Hey, today, maybe you might be watching from the southern part of our state, or maybe other areas that have been affected by the storm. Or maybe you're watching from Texas and you were affected by Hurricane Harvey and the flooding that happened. Or maybe for you, your storm is spiritual. Maybe for you, it seems like it'll never end. I can promise you this, that even though you might feel like the disciples where there's water coming in the boat, your Savior is in that boat with you. Today is really the day that sitting on a couch, God can save your life. He can calm your storm. He can lead you out of the place that you've been and into the place that he has for you. It starts with us understanding that he didn't create it for us to struggle, but to make us strong and to see his strength in it. Not so that we could just stay and hunker down and ignore the evacuations, but so that we could listen, we could follow the voice, the prompt, the leading of the Holy Spirit, that we could be sent out. And he didn't bring us to this place just so that we would feel unsettled in our life and stirring around and just can't land on anything. But he brought us to this place so that we could walk in peace, so that we could speak, so that you could speak and that I could speak to the winds and the waves in my life. Say, be still. You know, that's the amazing thing of the work of the cross. The disciples hadn't really experienced this yet. It was that what Jesus did on the cross for us, we don't have to ask, does God want me to be free? Does God want me to be healed? Does God want me to be saved? Does God want this storm to stop? He's already made it available to us. It's like salvation is just receiving what's already on the table. Today, my prayer for you is this. Is no matter where you sit, no matter when you watch this video, my prayer for you is that today you would see the fact that God loves you. And even though you might be in a natural storm or a spiritual storm, the storm wasn't to kill you. It wasn't to stop you. But it was that you could see God in it and through it, so that you could grow and be challenged and stretched, so that you could feel his peace and his love, even in the midst of some of the greatest loss. You might live in our city, or you might live somewhere else. But today, I believe that God wants to speak and change your life. I want to pray with you today as we close out our time together. And if you're with somebody there at a house, would you maybe take their hand? And maybe if you're just sitting there today by yourself, would you just take a moment and just bow your head and close your eyes? And I want to pray for you today. I want to pray that the storm in your life would cease. That you would speak to the wind and you would speak to the waves and you would see the strength and the stillness of God happen in you and through you. Can we just pray today? Father, we thank you. God, we love you. God, we thank you for the fact that you are good. You're good in every storm. You're good in every season. God, whether it's the greatest victory of our life or it's the most challenging moment. God, we thank you today that, God, storms, even though they're inevitable, they aren't to stop us. They aren't to end our life or to totally sidetrack our purpose. But God, they're to reveal you to us today. Lord, I pray that in the natural and in the spiritual, Lord, we would see the storms of our life, God, developing, growing, shaping, God, who we've been called to be. Lord, we love you today. God, we pray again, Lord, for every family, God, every individual who's experienced and suffered loss in this storm. God, I pray that you would be their peace today. Lord, I pray that they would know that you are in their boat. God, that even though you might seem silent in the moment, you have not forgotten them or forsaken them. God, we pray right now, Lord, for the person who might not know you as their Savior. I pray that they would ask you today. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart, then we're saved. I would just challenge you today. Maybe you just pray that prayer, Lord, right there to yourself. Just ask the Lord to come into your life and to save you of your sin and to forgive you so that the storms would cease, but so that you could grow in relationship with him. Father, today we love you. We give you praise for what you're doing. God, we give you praise in the midst of a storm. God, we give you praise in the midst of a loss. God, because we know that through it all, not just on the good days, but Lord, on the difficult, you are still good. Father, we thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.